Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hi, Esty.
Hi, Darren. I miss you. I know I say that every time we do this pod, but it's true.
Our listeners should know that we actually haven't seen each other in person since you came and helped me out with my
music video
performance for James Corden.
Yes.
For fucking around or running around for network TV.
But and that was before we had even started the pod.
Yeah, we hadn't even started recording.
It's so crazy.
Crazy.
And that was so much fun.
I know. We see each other more doing this. That was
fun.
It seems like ages ago now. What is
You
time,
know, I
man?
Really, my my aunts and uncles on both sides of my family really loved that performance.
Thank you, aunts and uncles on
aunts
both sides
Aunts and uncles,
of the family.
I don't think I've gotten more text messages from my aunts and uncles than that performance that we did, even with Haim stuff.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe they've just grown jaded. I was like the new kid at school who was like, you know, nobody knows anything about him or her, so they immediately have like interesting, cool, hot status.
No, I think they just really love the song. I think they just really love.
Thank you. I know. Sorry. I'm like insulting your very nice.
No, they were. No, not at all. They were super jazzed on the performance. And I think my one aunt in particular really loved the dress that I was wearing. I think that she has some issues sometimes with things that I wear, and I think this was the time she was like, "You did a good job."
Yeah, that one went pretty.
Yeah,
high.
It was a disco.
There.
It was a disco ball. It was a disco ball number.
Yeah, you were like a disco eagle, because it had like the feather kind of tapered.
That's a good way to put it.
Disco eagle.
Disco eagle.
Yeah, that's a cool band name slash concept in
or
general.
Or like a club.
Yeah, disco eagle is a
eagle.
Fucking
like,
cool
let's go
club
to the
name.
Disco eagle tonight.
Yeah. Oh, you guys, I've been working at the DE for like, when I started
at the DE. Yeah, the DE. Down in the DE.
But then, you know, down in DE. And this is like early DE days.
Oh, those DE
you know,
days.
This was like 2021.
Those DE days.
We used to know.
Where have they gone?
Oh, we have to stop singing because we can't sing songs.
I wonder if
songs.
That counts for musicals.
You know what? I don't know if that'll be cut out if we're getting trouble. We'll apologize right now to Andrew Lloyd
Webber.
Yeah,
sorry, sir.
Our listeners should know that for the amount of songs that Essie and I want to break out in and reference, because we do it for movies all the time and for cultural references, but songs are a tricky thing. Several episodes we've had to cut out us like mentioning a song because there's like a whole legal thing because, you know, lawyers and legal things, they, you know, that's how it is. That's the world we live in. But I'm going to use that as a segue for something we wanted to do earlier. Essie, you were talking about songs that we thought were one thing.
Yes.
But were something else.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, I think for on my side of the street, I think that mostly came from having a father who's ESL, so English as a second language.
Right. That'll do it.
That definitely adds to it. But I would hear him singing the songs and I adopted those lyrics. So one in particular, my family and I would watch Married with Children.
Love and I can't sing it.
You can't sing it.
I can't sing it. I'd sing two notes. I think I'm allowed two notes.
Love and that's all you get.
Something that it's to do with
people
matrimony.
People know that it's love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
Like a horse and carriage.
And my dad changed the lyrics to love and cherries.
Love and cherries.
Yes.
That's amazing. See, we can sing that because legally we're not singing the correct song. And if anything, we'll be protected under satire.
Thank you. I mean, the red tape of this, the red tape of it all is very frustrating because we are both musicians and we love to sing everything. I feel like that's all all I do is I make up songs about everything. When I'm uncomfortable, I make up songs.
Oh my God.
When I'm excited, I make up songs. Like if I'm in a situation where I like someone makes a joke and it's not funny and I feel uncomfortable for them, I write a song and I'll sing that I'm uncomfortable.
Somebody just at the dinner table tonight was like, they were saying something where they couldn't remember the word. And they are like, I was with my, what's the word? And I went, burn. When's it my turn? Again, we'll see what legal gets us away with because I'm only singing 4 or 5 words tops.
That's true.
Of the song. These are all people we love, artists
I know.
We love. It's like we're only supporting their brand.
100%. I don't think I would get angry if someone on a podcast was singing a Haim song. But again.
Oh, it's so tricky. One of my favorite YouTubers, this guy named Rick Beato, who does a ton of music videos. I'm sure you've seen some of his stuff. He's really amazing. Does a lot of really cool video essays on songs and music history shit. And he'll like do a video essay on like how great, you know, Joni Mitchell is, and like play the songs and explain why and break them down. And then like he'll get the video get pulled down, and then he'll like do follow up videos being like, I am literally giving a shout out to someone whose record came out like more than 30, 40 something years ago for free to tell a generation about this. Like, what is the value? Where's the additive value in you taking this? Anyway, it's all
true.
Legal things. It's get it.
It's true. No,
but it's like, come on, man.
I agree. And it's hard because like, I think that there is an element of like being able to give music to the people. You know what?
I have to share a rant that I go on. A lot of my friends have heard me go on this. I'd like to share it on this podcast if you'll permit me. But I always think we were talking about the commodification of music. So the music as a consumer good is a relatively new phenomenon in the history of culture. It's just barely maybe like 100 years old, just a little younger than that. At least mass consumption of music. And and it's wildly different from how it started to where it is now. But if you think about, you know, a couple hundred years ago, music, other than folk music, like local music, be it, you know, depending where you're from in the world, whether it's tribal or sort of village, you know, people playing, you know, instruments at home and sharing songs from generation to generation. As far as like what we know as classical music is concerned, if we're just going to focus on that genre, this was music of the upper class, and the ability to have music was a luxury, like a literal luxury. And so when you think about a lot of the like etudes and minuets that Bach had to like come up with, like Variation 1 in A minor, Variation 2 in A minor, and just him basically riffing on some shit that he's working out, they're a result of him being commissioned by some like duke or lord that's like, Bach, give us some music.
Right.
Like it was literally like, hey, Siri, play my favorite, you know, whatever. Play some workout music.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be just people where a dude would be like, come here, musician, play a thing. Play that little ditty I like. And then Bach's over there fucking sweating
like,
bullets going, shit, okay, fuck. Here we go. It's going to be great. And then if you have a party, you get, you know, like chamber music and you get musicians, and the experience of hearing music was like a rare thing. And so the thing that this is all lead up to the following. I cannot imagine what it was like if you're like, you know, a lower class, maybe a peasant or something, and, you know, Beethoven is putting on a concert in like Hamburg or some part of fucking Germany, and no one has ever heard like hit the 5th or the 9th or some seminal Beethoven piece, right? Like no one's ever fucking heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's all these lords and nobles and like rich people there that are there to hear Beethoven's new work. And I always wonder if there was like one guy, like one buddy that was like, hey man, listen, I got tickets to go see Beethoven. Or like, I'm working the thing. Like, why don't you come? Have you ever heard music before? And he'll be like, yeah, I heard my mom plays, the lute. No, no, I'm talking like a fucking like
chamber orchestra.
No, never. Yeah, like a room full of music simultaneously happening in real time. No, I've never heard it. What's it like? Bro, it is like, I'm pretty sure it's the only connection we have to God. And he goes, okay, I'll check it out. And he goes, and you sit there and you hear, bum, 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 bum,
right.
And you hear some like iconic piece of music. You would, your brain would fucking melt.
100%.
You would transcend. Like, can you, like, with no relative experience before and the music hits you, you probably burst into tears. Anyway, that's my rambling.
I've never thought about that. That's actually pretty crazy.
Like, what was that like? How would that have even, and then afterwards, people are like, what was it like? And you're like, oh, fuck, it was, I don't know, it was beautiful. I cried. How did it go? Da-na-na-na. No. Oh, you had to be there.
Right.
It repeated that in a couple different variations, but it was great. I don't know how else to explain it. And like not having, you couldn't just summon it again. You couldn't just be like, yo, let me listen to it on my phone. It was this experience that happened in that instant. The same thing with opera and all these other high, you know, high society pieces of music culture from that time. Like you would hear it and that's kind of it.
Exactly.
You know, and you would just be left with this impression of like, holy shit. And that blows my mind. I can't imagine the emotional, like spiritual experience that must have been for people who could like hear music at that time. Like we take for granted the idea that you can summon the entire recorded catalog of music at any time. On your
I know.
Fucking phone.
We're so lucky, right?
Wild.
We're so lucky that we have that. I mean, I feel like I have that reaction. When I hear classical music, I have that reaction and I have access to it all the time. But I think there is something, you know, they call the heartstrings for a reason, because that's, you know, the timbre of string instruments, it hits you in your chest. Do you know that?
Yeah, there's definitely a frequency. Like there's a lot of science on this,
yes.
That like neural... effects of specific wavelengths,
yes.
And frequencies. And I heard the cello is the closest human-made, like, analog acoustic instrument.
To the human voice?
An acoustic instrument to the human,
yes.
Voice. Yeah, it's
I've heard that as well.
Voice.
I've heard that as well.
So when you hear it really saying it, like, it just
yes.
Moves you. It's like when Yo-Yo Ma plays that higher shit. It sounds like an Irish tenor, and you're just like, why am I crying?
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
I love that we're talking about classical music also, because Adam and I went to go see Peter and the Wolf at...
Oh,
we saw
fun.
Dudamel. Viola Davis, Red, I mean, again, brought to tears. And then, okay, I don't want to go off on too many tangents, but I realized at that concert while I'm like crying, because it just reminds me of my childhood.
So, oh man, me too.
Because, you know, it's you know, each instrument is a different animal. And,
right.
You know, it's just such a great, it's just such a great symphony and such a great thing for kids.
Totally. Very cinematic.
Totally.
And very, like, it's very accessible.
And that's the thing. I realized being there, all of a sudden, like, I'm crying and the hairs on the back of my neck started to stand up. And I was, like, accessing a memory that I hadn't, like, had never associated with Peter and the Wolf. And I realized I was seeing in my head Devon Sawa in Casper.
Oh, man. Don't get me started on that. Be still
my
heart.
Be still my beating heart. I mean, can I keep you? I mean.
Fucking, dude, we went to go see it in a drive-through movie theater over the pandemic. And this is, you know, hundreds of people who are fully adult human beings with children, probably older than Devon Sawa, in that movie.
Oh.
And the hoots and hollers and honks of horns that happened when that motherfucker came on screen were so intense that everybody has this, like, very visceral, like, reaction to seeing that kid being, like, just the handsome boy that everybody loved. And just, I was like, we're adults. This is, like, is this appropriate? And then my friend was like, yes, it is. It's Devon Sawa.
Devon Sawa, what a career. But
anyway, sorry, back to, so Peter
okay,
and the
so,
Wolf.
But I realized the score to the Casper movie, there's one song in the Casper movie that sounds so much like Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean, a lot of those great symphonies, like, you know, like Gustav Holst's The Planets kind of sound like a bit of John Williams, like Star Wars stuff.
Again, yeah.
A lot of the Tchaikovsky romantic era shit sounds like, you know, cinematic scores we know now.
Everyone borrows from, if you're going to borrow from someone.
Yeah, those are the people. I forget, my classical friends will make fun of me. I forget who wrote Peter and the Wolf. I shouldn't even admit that I forget.
What? Oh, wait, look it up. It's not Stravinsky.
I know. There's like, I can just hear my classical friends listening to this going, Darren, come on.
Yeah. Wait, Adam.
I know it's Russian. Prokofiev.
I don't even know how to say that.
Prokofiev. Yeah.
Okay,
Sergei
say
Prokofiev.
It. Okay, so Prokofiev.
That makes sense. Yeah, Prokofiev.
Wrote it.
It's all the Russians. The Russians, man, fucking what a period of music.
Как дела, хорошо.
Yeah, I know. I probably sound like so American when I say that.
I mean, those are
Peter and the Wolf, man. What a good one.
It's so good.
But that's also one that's meant to be experienced live. There is music. We talk about live music all the time, but something we haven't necessarily talked about is there are genres of music that are designed to be witnessed live. They were born from the live experience, and it's only recently, I would say as little as the past 10, 15 years, that there is now music that's more exclusively for being listened to on your phones and your headphones. The former being, I would say, you know, classical music, jazz, funk music, things that are about the live band and the sort of spontaneity and the moment in the room. And these are also genres of music that were created for space. When you think of like classical choral music, it was meant for churches. Chamber
right.
music was made for like small little halls. Even all the way as recent, I'm actually quoting, this was a David Byrne TED talk that he did about music being like fitting the space. And he was talking about how jazz was born in low ceiling, small rooms where you could kind of really get in and lean in and hear the trumpet go nuts and then really lean into the brushes on the snare, and how music throughout the years has like really defined the space, has defined the music that was being created. Punk, you know, these shitty rooms with like shitty speakers and overblown gain and like overdrive is created from these loud kind of shitty kind of fuck you attitude things, and that's its own type of music. So there's like so much music that is meant to be live. Like if you and I listen to a classical piece, like it's pretty, but like if you hear it in a like concert hall, you're like, oh my God.
Different experience. Totally different thing.
So it is weird that we now have music. Like I'll listen to music that like I go, this is not, like when I see it live, it's basically they're playing the track because it is a digital experience, you know.
Yes.
It is not an acoustic experience, and that's not a bad thing. I don't like shit on that by any means. It's just different. But that's a newer phenomenon. I think that's probably, again, only 10-15 years old.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of music that you and I love that, you know, it would be hard to, if not impossible, to replicate it completely acoustically. And it's not meant for that. It's meant for our headphones.
Exactly.
And our,
it's a different beast,
you know.
It's a different beast.
It's cool.
But I hadn't seen classical music in a very, very long time. So, of course, I had this to bring it full circle.
Did you go recently?
Yeah, I went to, this was like maybe 2 weeks ago. It was before I saw Kumasi Washington.
Oh, really? Where?
At the Bowl with Dudamel.
Oh, wow. How beautiful is that?
I mean, Dudamel.
Pretty wild, I know. And let her be still my heart. What a bad
God.
Dude.
I was really having a full-blown, like, spiral watching and listening to Peter and the Wolf And Viola Davis reading it. I mean, she is just so exquisite and such an amazing actress.
She's so regal.
She is
she just has such a presence about
her. I was in tears. I was fully in tears.
Yeah. It's a moving thing when you have that many people functioning at that level. And Dudamel, I mean, I always say that conductors, like orchestral conductors, are the closest thing to real life wizards because they get a funny outfit. They have an actual wand. And they are literally manipulating and wielding sound.
I know.
Like a sorcerer would of, like, you know, objects in a room. Like, you're going to go up, you're going to go down, you're going to go over there. And just, like, it's amazing.
I wish everyone could see you conducting right now because that is all. It is.
You can use your imagination.
It's very wizard-like. You know, no, but you're
but it basically
your
is.
Your flick of the wrist is very nice.
Thank you. Do you know all your time signatures? I can't do it.
Yeah, I had to do that
conducting
in college.
Conducting really is an amazing skill.
I had to do
skill.
That in college. And,
really?
Yeah.
Conducting is really extraordinary to me. Anytime, Randy Newman will conduct stuff because he's, you know.
Because he can do everything?
Because he can do everything, and you're just like, God, this guy. I just watched a video of my friend Emily Bear, if you know who she is. She's, like, 19 years old. She was one of, like, she would hate it if I said this, but it's true. She was, you know, like, a child prodigy mm-hmm. and, like, one of these, like Quincy Jones, like, proteges.
Nice.
I was just watching a video of her like conducting and I was just like, you're 19 years old, like, and you're a young woman, like, that's cool. You don't see that a lot, but just it just reminded me of like how cool conducting is.
I want to see
when
Dudamel
does it with his cool long hair. It's so like impassioned, so, like, and you're just like, this is magic. It's actual magic.
I think that I would enjoy conducting.
I think you could do it. I feel like if you did like a crash course, like, you really could do it, yeah.
I definitely have the faces for it, that's for sure.
I wish people could see Esty do it. Yeah, she was giving me the faces and really getting into
it. Oh, man.
I mean, you're putting yourself into, literally into the music, and you are now wielding, again, all of the pieces. And you have to understand, like, all parts of the car so
exactly.
well. You have to know the way the chassis is built, the wheels, where the trunk is, how, like, you know every detail about every piece, and like getting to.
I know.
It's just such a high functioning.
You have to know everything.
Level of understanding.
Everything about every part of the orchestra. And to really bring it home, I do remember being, like, as a kid, watching the movie Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yep.
Do you remember that movie?
Do I remember the movie?
As a kid, I was like, that looks like fun. I get to be the one in charge of all these instruments.
Yeah.
That seems like fun.
Again, closest thing to a wizard.
A wizard.
Just like I think cameramen are the closest thing to being Ghostbusters. But that's a
Wait,
whole other story.
What?
You ever seen a cameraman? You ever seen a camera?
Yes.
See what it looks like? It looks like Ghostbusters gear. And they are literally capturing ghosts.
Wait.
Put
I'm
that
carrying,
in your pipe and smoke
I'm
it.
Carrying the two plus
I'm just saying, if you have a gigantic camera that looks like a all these wires and stuff that look like the Ghostbusters guns.
Yes.
And they are capturing things that are no more.
Right.
Forever. Right? If you act a performance is like a transient,
right.
ephemeral moment. And so the ghosts,
you know,
of those moments are put into the camera and recorded forever.
I'm
and so,
on board.
There you go.
With that characterization.
That was out there. I know that you weren't expecting
I
that.
Was
I was
not.
Trying to be funny, and then
I was
really
not.
Deep.
But I will. Yeah. I will agree with you.
When you see them, you get it because all the wires and stuff. And
well, also
I was making funny
the
comments.
Camera,
like
the camera people that have the backpack with the thing on,
like a Steadicam. Yeah, like a full Steadicam. You do look like something of a Ghostbuster.
A Ghostbuster or
like
a
you
scorpion.
You have all this cool gear. Oh, yeah.
That,
well,
like,
if you have that, if you have like the brace, I don't know what the nomenclature is for that device, but yes, if you have a certain contraption that is a Steadicam.
Yeah, you
yes,
do kind
that,
of look like a Ghostbuster.
I mean, you look like some kind of cool, futuristic, yeah, like, you know, superhero Ghostbuster. One of the best pieces of advice I was ever given about working on set, well, a film set, is always learn the name of every cameraman or woman. Always.
You know what? I'm going to go one further. Learn the name of everyone on set.
On set. If you,
everyone
exactly.
is
that's,
your friend.
I feel like that's indicative of a bigger thing. But yes, try to retain
the
name of everybody.
I mean, I think that you know, I try to learn everyone's name. But I do some, I mean, I think the way that I go about it might be slightly annoying. Because if someone tells me their name, usually I'll either like associate it with like the, like if their first letter, let's say, let's talk about Terrence. Terrence, our producer. The first time I meet Terrence, I might say, you know, titillating Terrence.
You make mnemonics yes. for yourself to remember the
and
names.
I will never forget. And then, you know, as I get to know him, I've been like Terry and TT and Terrence podcast producer.
That's a good system. I think most people
But I'll tell them.
They hear it.
But I'll tell them.
You'll tell them that it's titillating
yes,
Terrence.
Like if
and then
I,
that'll
yes,
lock it
yes.
in.
Yes, titillating Terrence.
So that makes sense because memories are just like printing aliases on your computer.
Yes.
They're just the last time you recollected it
exactly.
is what prints the memory thing.
You say it out loud.
So if you say it back, then that's good. Yeah, because if someone says, hi, I'm Stacy, and it's not until you go, it's Stacy, right? That I think your brain kind of, I mean, I'm not a neurologist.
No, but you're right.
Speaking of another rant, just because I'm feeling all ranty. By the way, we don't obviously have a guest this time because Essie decided and I decided that we like talking to each other yeah. every now and then because
why not?
This is kind of why we started a podcast.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys don't mind. People's schedules are busy. We have a lot of cool, interesting people coming up. But this week we figured, why not? Let's just have one
yeah,
for us.
Yeah, why not?
Where we can rant and rave. But rant number two that I give a lot, which is actually kind of similar to the one about going to hear a Beethoven symphony for the first
yes.
time. And it has to do with memory
okay.
and how you print memory. So this didn't come out of nowhere. I was going to say, and this is kind of a breakfast epiphany that I had that
okay.
I guess I could fit into our category of breakfast
Lay
epiphanies.
It on me.
So I take pictures of everything.
Yes.
I'm not much of a poster. We can talk about social. This thing has nothing to do with social media. But I don't post stuff simply because I take too many pictures and videos. And friends who know me know that I always take pictures and they just give me shit for it because it's like, you're hoarding all these photos. And
okay.
I don't mean to. I think it has something to do with, like, it's like an in real time video journal.
Okay.
Right? I just like, I keep a diary of stuff because I do a lot of crazy shit and I travel a lot. And it's nice for me to recollect where I was and what I was doing. But then I wondered the other day if this, years of doing this, specifically now that we have phones and you can take 100 pictures of one thing, like, with no problem, you used to have to be very selective with only so many pictures on a camera roll. I wondered if this has been damaging my memory and if my ability to recall things has now relied more on the fact that like the phone can store it. And I always think of what it must have been like. It's very, very similar. I don't know why my brain has this theme of this guy that gets to do this or this woman that gets to do this. If you're a settler and you're heading west and you're like surviving fucking dysentery and nutrient deprivation, God knows what else, like being an explorer, right? Of being a pioneer of the old west. And you set up camp somewhere and you don't really know what's out there. It's basically like going to outer space. You have no idea what you're going to run into. And you're taking a walk and you come across the Grand fucking Canyon.
Oh my God.
And you go, oh my fucking God. And you run back to your village or your camp and you're like, guys, this is fucking huge, huge like hole
in the
and
earth.
It goes for like ever. And I've never seen anything like it. Well, how big is it? It's really big. Like as big
Red
as
box.
as like a big house. No, no. It's bigger than all the mountains that we've seen on the way here. It's like that, but like downwards. I can't. And like not having, because I guess what I'm saying is one used to need, like if you couldn't draw, you had to have, people used to be much more articulate. As a fan of the written word, I feel like now we rely on things that are associative. Like if you get in a car accident, you go, oh my God, it was like a movie. It was like a movie. You didn't
right.
say it was like this really harrowing scene
yes.
where the fenders crunched and use adjectives
totally.
And verbs to illustrate the
Someone
scene.
Ran the red light.
Because you can rely on the shorthand.
Yeah.
of something somebody would understand. And nowadays you can just show a movie or something on your phone, but I can't imagine what it was like to have seen the Grand fucking Canyon and writing down what you saw. You probably thought it was like the gateway to fucking hell. Like you have no way, and no, you've never heard of the Grand Canyon. You've there's nothing in your brain ever that has seen an image of it. So how do
Describe
you convey,
that.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is over the years, have we lost our, I think I heard somewhere that when the Phoenicians, however many centuries ago, started writing things
uh-huh.
down, is when we started to lose huge chunks of our recollective ability. Because we used to just like the Bible or the Torah or something, like, or the Quran, like this was all just word of mouth for like
a long time. Totally.
You just like tell it. And then it wasn't until we could figure out how to write shit down. It's like having a hard drive. We could like upload this information that we had been storing onto a third party and make room for other shit, or just our brains became smaller. I don't know. So my really, really long rant is saying I'm wondering if me taking pictures is adding to that sort of degradation of memory recall.
No.
That's my rant.
I'm going to call bullshit on that. I don't think that that's true. And I don't think that you should stop taking photos.
Well, I'm not. I'm definitely not. Not at this point. I'm too deep.
You're too deep. And I also don't think that that's true. And I also think that we have, like, in 2021, if you want to take photos of everything, like... Also, Darren, have you heard of ginkgo biloba?
Did you just make fun of me in a language from Venus?
Maybe I did. Because if you don't speak ginkgo biloba.
What is ginkgo biloba?
You don't know what ginkgo biloba is? Ginkgo biloba.
I don't know what ginkgo biloba is. What the ginkgo fuck is
Darren,
biloba?
How have you gone, 30 something years without ever knowing what ginkgo biloba is? Ginkgo biloba.
You keep saying it. You keep saying it like it's a thing.
Do you
I'm
think
gonna
it's
know
not
what,
real?
What
Am I
is.
Like, is there a possibility? Because I could be totally making this up and you won't know.
Spare me. Save me. Indulge me. I don't know. I'm embarrassed. What is it? What
Listeners,
is this thing?
This is the most fun I've had all week. Ginkgo biloba is a vitamin/supplement that has been, and it's not proven. There's no like, it's not like it's an FDA. It's said.
I thought you were talking about some like band or like a movie or like some kind of program for photos.
No, ginkgo biloba, you take it and it's supposed
like,
to help.
Like an herbal.
Yes, it helps with your memory.
Maybe if I saw it on paper.
Ginkgo, G-I-N-K-O, I believe. Biloba is like the whole, it's ginkgo biloba is the whole thing. But it is very, 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 very fun to say. Like Zaboomafoo. Do you know what Zaboomafoo is?
Is that also a supplement that you take or is that another, is that an actual other culture?
No, Zaboomafoo is like a cartoon.
Movie. I don't know.
Oh, but ginkgo biloba and Zaboomafoo, I feel like might be in the same.
If I take enough ginkgo biloba, I'll remember to watch Zaboomafoo.
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 Yes. Actually, I'm going to have to look up Zaboomafoo because Alana talks about it all the time, but I just want to make sure that my sister is not.
That you're pronouncing it right?
Zaboomafoo.
A lot of syllables are thrown at me. These are all very fun.
Okay, Zaboomafoo is at. Okay, so Zaboomafoo isn't a cartoon, but it is a TV show.
Okay. Is it like a children's
It's a children's show.
Show.
Meant to be it's a children's show. Nice. I believe it was on PBS
like
Kids. But Alana talks about it all the time. And it's just.
A new one? An old one?
I think it came out in 1999.
Okay. Relatively contemporary, but not.
But how much fun is it to say that name, Zaboomafoo?
It's very fun to say those. I had almost as much fun not knowing what it was just so I could try and get my mouth around those words. That was very fun. I'll have to add that to my supplemental roster so I can remember these crazy
things. I think that you should just
instead of taking pictures,
start taking ginkgo biloba and then you can also simultaneously
instead of pictures or
in addition to keep taking photos. Great photos.
Thank you. I take a lot. I really do enjoy taking photos. I'm the kind of guy that when I see something like I like the challenge of trying to get a cool photo of it, and sometimes people get mad at me because like, why are you always doing that? I'm like, it's just fun.
No.
Like, if I see something, I want to like capture it in a cool way because I have this fun toy in my pocket.
Right.
It's called a fucking best camera I've ever owned.
I actually think that every friend group needs someone like you.
Yeah, and you know what's great? So Mia's really good about like she'll take like the great pictures off my phone and she'll like send them to the people who want them. She's really good about that.
Thank you,
Mia. Without Mia, like they would be hoarded forever.
No, but that's important. And you should not hoard them. You should share them with friends.
Well, I don't consciously hoard them. I don't do it like in a way of like where I don't want people to have it. I just forget until you bug me. Hey, Darren, send me that thing. I just won't do it. And then we'll like make photo books and stuff. And what's fun is during the pandemic, I've gone through old photos and seen stuff. And it is like going through old like diary entries and going, holy shit, this is who I was. And where did that t-shirt go? And this is a portrait of what things were like then. And it's nice. So I don't regret it. But I did wonder the other day if like it had like a long-term effect like societally. So I'd be curious to know what anthropologists say about that and like 30 years.
Maybe we should have one on the pod.
Yeah. As long as they do a lot of other things in the entertainment industry, then it's great. So once we get that pop star / anthropologist, like we will be set.
Or an anthropologist that wants to be a pop star.
Which I think might be all of them. Because I think every anthropologist would be interested in the very unique anthropological study of what it would be to be a pop star. That'd be one hell of a case study for an anthropologist.
You know, we might have to put the feelers out, Darren.
Hi there. Hi, Craigslist. We're just looking for any anthropologists out there looking to be a pop star and or rock star. Really, any kind of popular cultural music success. If you're looking for that, we are.
Boy, do we have the pod for you.
Boy, do we have a spot. But you can only join us if you are also a pop star.
I would say anthropologist, sociologist, psychologist, all the ologists. Should we wrap this guy up?
Should we tell people where I am right now, or should we?
Yes.
Do we have enough stuff? It's currently, I'm sweating balls right now because it's like really hot. I'm in Chicago, one of my favorite cities in the whole wide world.
I'm actually very jealous because I have very, very fond memories of being in Chicago for Lollapalooza. Which
it's baby's first Lollapalooza. I go to a lot of festivals, but I have never been. Lollapalooza is that festival. It's like that movie that you don't admit you haven't seen because I don't want people to go, you've never done Lollapalooza. So it's my first time. And we can tell our listeners now because it will come out. This will come out the day afterwards. But I'm going on stage with Mr. Steve Aoki doing our little Dave Matthews cover that we put out like two years ago.
That's so
It's very cool.
Cool.
It's nerve-wracking, though. I just did sound check, and I sent you pictures.
Yes,
pretty cool,
it's
man.
So like, cool.
It's seeing that. Oh, Chicago at night, man.
To be back at a festival.
I know. I hope everybody keeps safe and everybody
Me too.
Kind of adheres to the
Me
rules.
Me too.
And, you know, because we're got to, you know, it's like I'm excited that we're back, but, you know, it is a tricky
This
time.
Is kind of like a test run, if anything, right?
Yeah, it's the first major festival. Like that, I think of all the kind of big festivals of the world coming back. So we'll see how it goes. I'm a little conflicted because, you know, the version that we're doing is like a remix that's made for his set. It's not the actual track. It's like 10 fucking BPM faster. It's like really hyped and crazy. But it's hard because it's really hard to sing. And the idea, I have to kind of make the decision between trying to sound good or look cool. Because
right.
The look cool thing is you're just basically a hype man. Where you don't have to sound very good, like, because I'm going to be out of breath, I'm going to be running around stage, I'm going to be jumping up and down, it's going to be like, crash! You know, it's going to be like that, because it's just, you're there to be a hype man, but I also want to sound good when I see the YouTube videos, and then you go, oh, he didn't sound very nice, but if I'm, like, going ape shit, then
it's
nobody cares, so I'm like, which one do I go for?
Go for having, I think the crowd will enjoy it more if you're going hard.
Ape shit, right? That's the thing. Yeah, you just want to go nuts. That way they will go nuts too.
Yes, I think the name of the game at Lollapalooza is...
Talk about music you need to see live, right? Like, that's a thing where, like, if there's... You're jumping around and it's meant to be a crowd thing.
It's so infectious. And I think you will win by doing that. And just audience interaction, I think, is always kind of the name of the game. And that's where you're going to have the most fun, too.
I hope so.
You're going to have the best time. I'm telling you, Lollapalooza, I have some of the craziest, best memories. I don't know if I ever told you the story.
How many times have you played Lollapalooza?
Well, we've played twice. Twice?
Amazing.
Yeah, we've played twice.
So cool. I love you don't even know.
But I've gone just as a fan, like, three times.
Yeah, nice. I know. I can't believe I've never been. I mean, it's Chicago is like, because I went to school in Michigan, and so Chicago.
So close.
Is where all my friends are. And this is that trip, you know, where you haven't seen certain friends of yours for like a year and a half. This is that trip.
I'm staying
with my friend Brian, who I haven't seen. I haven't hugged my buddy Brian in like a year and a half. I just gave him the biggest. It's like so. These are all my Star Kid friends. For anybody who's listening, you know Star Kid. These are all people I went to school with and did all those musicals with. This is like, that's who I get to see
while
I'm here. So I'm just like, my heart is just singing. I'm just so happy to be here. It's so
you're
nice.
Going to have, I mean, Lollapalooza starts. It starts Thursday.
By the time this comes out, it will have started yesterday. Yeah,
got you. Okay. Yeah. When I think
tomorrow,
when I went, it was just a 3-day festival.
I know it's four days.
It's a lot. That's great.
That's a marathon.
It's great. And I went.
Really
God, I think it was 2006, and it was me and Danielle. And
15 years ago.
Isn't that crazy? So long ago. And, you know, we were babies. I don't even know if I was 20 yet. I think I might have just turned 20.
Wow.
And I went, it was me and Danielle. We were just kind of, we had copied passes.
I guess you can go, yeah, it's not like a 21 and up thing. You can go if you're like a teenager,
exactly.
I guess, right?
And I think Danielle was 17. Again, we...
I said wow because I was like, well, how did you go? But I guess you're right. Anybody can
yeah.
just go if you're...
I mean, yeah. that's why I mean, I love... I mean, you know, that my favorite thing is, you know, as a pre-21... That was like the only time that I got to see live music is everything else in LA was 21 and over. But I could go to a festival and
right.
I could see
right. you had to go to
everything.
Festival, right?
So I remember going to this festival. We had copied passes. We basically snuck in. We snuck in backstage. And we'd met these girls... And made friends with them. And because, you know, me and Danielle, we're friendly.
Yeah. I'm wondering who these girls were. When you tell me that you ended up hanging out with
no,
like,
these girls.
S Club
well,
7.
Oh, my God. In my dreams.
I don't know why I led with that.
No. Well, I'm actually friends with one of them still. I can't name check her. I mean, she's not.
The girl from Lollapalooza or S Club 7?
The girl
7?
From Lollapalooza. I wish I was friends with the girls from S Club 7. You know that if it was allowed, I would be singing every S Club 7 song. Verbatim
yeah,
off the top of the noodle.
Don't do it.
I won't do it.
Don't
I
do
will
it.
Spare the readers and the lawyers from Cadence 13. I will
the legal
team. But so we make friends with these like really cool, sweet girls, and we run around the festival with them, and they think it's so cool that we copied passes because you know they were like, oh, that's so cool that you copied passes and you snuck in. And then they were like, we're going to go see Chick, Chick, Chick.
Yeah. Or
exclamation
point, exclamation
chick,
point,
chick,
exclamation
chick.
Point. Yeah.
And we end up, so we watch the set and then we go backstage and the guy from Chick, Chick, Chick is just back there. And basically we went up to him and we were like, hi, we're such big fans. Like I was not cool at all. I was like, I'm just such a big fan. You're so great. This is really fun. You did amazing. And he was like, we're going to go... jump into the fountain outside of the festival because it's really hot. Do you want to come with us?
Oh my God. I know the big fountain right in
yes.
Grant Park.
Yes. Or Millennial Park.
Millennial Park.
Millennial
yeah.
Park?
I should know.
Anyway, long story short, we run out of the festival and then run to the fountain with all of our clothes on. I was just in a fountain with Chick, Chick, Chick.
What a fun, like, freewheeling
oh.
early 20s.
Oh
like,
my God.
Movie moment.
100%.
Again, to I'm being referential to a movie because it seems like a very like in slow motion like
oh my God,
you know, songs playing in the background like a coming of
yes.
age story of
oh my God, I was like I'm going wow. I'm running into a fountain with this like rock star that I had just seen
I'm
on
sure
stage.
They made your day. Some rocks.
Oh my God,
some rock star has like these young 20 something girls like hanging out like saying that he did great. Like he was probably like this is amazing. Being a rock star is so
well.
Fun.
That's the thing, and it was also just like a great
day.
Experience. It wasn't like there was nothing creepy. He was just like, I'm really hot.
Yeah, I'm
trying.
Sure
I'm like
good.
Running into this fountain. Like everyone's clothes were on the entire time. It was just really fucking hot.
I mean, it is very,
it is
very hot.
So
right now.
Hot in August in Chicago. So like, and again, it was just like, okay, well, that was really fun. And then we just left.
Bye. Thanks for this really fun
Bye.
Movie
Thank
moment.
You for like reenacting the opening, you know, credits of Friends.
I think it's Buckingham Fountain is, I think, what it
okay,
is.
Okay. Maybe.
But I just looked it up. Buckingham Fountain in Grant
yes,
Park.
Yes, in Grant
I mean,
Park.
There's a lot of fountains there, but that's like the big one. Yeah, Millennial.
Yes.
That's
Millennial Park is
another park.
Close, though.
Yes, I think. Hold on. A lot of beautiful parks.
Yes, it was great.
In Chicago.
And so, long story short, I'm still friends with one of the girls that I met that day, and she's great.
Oh, nice. I was waiting for you to say that girl, and that girl turned out to be...
No, I don't think I don't... I want to... I don't want to blow
fabulous
up her
rock
spot.
Star.
No, she's just like a really cool girl, and she lives in LA now, and at the time, she wasn't living in LA.
It sounds like she's somebody pretty amazing that you don't want to blow
she's
up.
She's pretty amazing.
But can you just say...
She's pretty amazing.
So it's but it is like a fancy person. Not to say that it's any less interesting if she's just a wonderful human being, but just for the sake of the story of like a cool... You don't have to say who it is, but I'm saying if it's a fancy person, that makes it even more fun, because you met... Your meet cute was a very kind of romantic, poetic kind
she's,
of moment. So that is
she's
cool.
She's kind of fancy, but also just super down to earth. girl.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not. They're not mutually exclusive. I'm just saying, if it's like a famous person,
who is it? Tell me who it is.
Well, offline, I'll tell you. I'll tell you who it is. But okay. Yes, no, so fine. Like, please, it was a lot of fun. Lollapalooza is so fun. I saw some of the great, like, best performances ever. And like, in the side, I don't. Are they doing side shows this year? Are they doing like a, like Lincoln?
Like the after show stuff? I mean, yeah. There's a ton. It's all full bloom, man. You know, other than like right now, if you can see this on my wrist, this is my vaccination.
I'm so jealous.
No, but this, like, seriously, beyond the regular, like, pass thing of the festival, this is a specific,
like, all the after shows?
Like, vaccination.
Oh.
No, this is, like, a vax, like, this, they're very, you know, they take it really seriously, so.
Good for them!
Because, you know, a lot is riding on this festival for,
good. You know, they should
be. The future
be.
Of the other ones, so.
They should be.
Yeah.
So I hope everyone good. Is taking this seriously. Okay, the last thing that I'm going to say is,
yes.
Just because you're in Chicago, if I say, what happens when I say this? Okay. Chicago.
Going gone.
Chicagoing. Chicagoing.
Chicago and gone. I was wondering if we were going to talk about this. Chicago going gone. Yeah. I didn't say the full thing correctly, but I was just trying to get to the end of it so you knew that I knew you were referencing the Phantom
yes!
Planet album and DVD.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know the
yeah,
story?
Where Alex climbed up
yes,
to the thing.
And Sculpius.
Yep. Oh, man.
Where he had the skull in his tour bus. Still don't know how I feel about that, but I thought it was, at the time when I was in my younger years, I was like, that is album. So cool. And the song 10 Men, 10 Men, 10 Men. That they made up on the bus.
I can't believe that you knew these guys. So we're talking about a band that I know we kind of tend to speak hyperbolically. I'm very reserved when I say, like, my favorite or most or anything with, like, a high level of superlative. Phantom Planet is one of my favorite bands and is one of my biggest influences. And there's a lot of crossover with SD, which is something that I've always thought was super cool, especially when we first met and I started to realize that you had, again, it's the LA thing, like, you guys have played gigs together. But Phantom Planet, to me, growing up, just, like, everything to me. And I was, like, part of the fan club. I bought all their shit. I waited outside of their bus. Like, I have so much sign. My guitars, that is actually being played in that full circle. The live performance music video that we did for Corden, Charlene, who is on the other guitar, was playing my Phantom Planet signed guitar.
Yes.
Which is, like, it's from when I was 16. I have so much signed
prized
shit
possession.
From them. I love them. And I have, like, the DVD of that. I have the album.
I knew you would know that DVD.
I was wondering if that's... I was hoping that's what you were going to say. Because
yes.
I was like, I know where this is going to go.
Do you know the story? I think they talk about it maybe on the documentary. Or maybe not. I don't know where I heard this. But when you... On the DVD...
You would know more than I would.
Well, on the DVD, it says Chicago. Chicagoing.
Going.
No. Chicago. Chicago going. Chicago gone.
Go on, gone. Yeah, the Chicago gone. Exactly. Okay, now I remember. I'm looking at
right.
it now.
That's, but it's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be Chicago, Chicago going, Chicago gone. Not Chicago, Chicago going, Chicago gone.
So what happened?
Something at the label. They didn't get the joke.
Oh, somebody just made a boo-boo?
Someone made a boo-boo.
Chicago, Chicago.
Right?
Oh, wow. Yeah. There seems to be different.
See?
Oh, yeah.
Someone made a boo-boo.
We still get it.
I mean, yes. Yes, I get it. But that must have really sucked.
Yeah, to get that. Be like, come on.
Yeah, seriously. Come on, guys. Like, get your shit together, record label.
I heard once, I don't know if this is true, but I'd like to believe it's true, that Donkey Kong, you know, like Donkey
yes.
Kong of Nintendo
yes.
fame. Ever wonder why it's Donkey Kong? He's not a donkey. He's a gigantic monkey. He's an ape.
Right.
I heard somewhere that was just like a typo heard around the world.
Stop.
Where it was supposed to be Monkey Kong.
No way.
I know. It's like the M and the D aren't necessarily close to each other on the keyboard, but having studied a little Japanese, I now understand a lot of the language disparity that happens all the time between English and Japanese and why they happen. So I can see where that may have happened, but just to make it simple without trying to dive into the etymology or the linguistics of it, I just like to think that somebody hit D instead of M on a keyboard, and that's why Donkey Kong is Donkey Kong instead of Monkey Kong. But like, you're like, yeah, it makes sense because he's not a donkey at all.
It does make sense, but
he's not the king of the donkeys.
No, but my question is like, how many people was that green lit through before?
Who knows?
It was a different time, Darren.
Different time. Who knows? Maybe they just liked it better. I can't claim that story being true. Again, I just like the fact that it's a potential scenario where it happened, and it tickles me.
It tickles me too. And you know what else tickles me?
Hey.
The fact that you are going to be performed Lollapalooza on stage with Steve Aoki. I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy for you.
I hope it goes okay.
I wish I could be there with you. Honestly, you're going to have the best time. It's such an incredible festival.
You.
It's such an incredible
festival.
You're with
me in spirit. I will try and summon the vibes left on those stages in that park from the Haim girls
just have fun.
Performance.
If you're having fun, everyone else is going to have fun.
That's all it comes down to, right? Exactly. 100%. I know. I'm just
have a good time.
Go
just go have fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think you can tell. I'm kind of keeping a lid on it because I just really am. And we'll have to tell people how it went next time.
I cannot wait to hear everything / see the copious photos and videos that I know people are going to take and that you better
take.
I'll take
them and I'll send you some.
Yes.
Yes, I'll send you some for sure. I sent one tonight. It was pretty damn cool.
It's really cool.
It out, in fact. And people who are listening, you'll see what I'm talking about. It was from SoundCloud.
I love you. I
love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Best.
Have the best time. And I'll talk to you next week, if not sooner.
I'll talk to you soon.
Love
Thanks
you.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for listening to our rants and raves.
That
we love all of you.
Podcast.
We'll see you
love
later.
You.